Matthew chapter number 5, we're going to be going through Beatitudes this morning, once again. And so last week we did it on Sunday morning regular service, the worship service. So if you were not here for that, or you were helping in the back or something like that, we talked about hungering, thirsting after righteousness, talking about just to be right and do right. And hopefully that was an encouragement to you. I know it was an encouragement to me last week, and made me want a desire to be right. And I hope that's your desire too, to want to be right. Not the idea of saying I'm the one that's right and everybody else is wrong. No, but to be righteous, to be righteous. So Matthew chapter 5, we are going to go over a couple quick announcements and then we'll jump right in. We have a lot that we'd like to cover today, and hopefully we'll get done the majority of it, if not all of it. We'll get done exactly what we're supposed to do. So let's see here, announcement-wise, there is a business meeting tonight. We'll go over the first quarter financials tonight, personal evangelism seminar. So there is this coming Saturday, Tidewater Baptist Church is having a personal evangelism seminar by Evangelist Scott Pauley. They're going to have lunch after that, and then they're going to have a question-answer time. So if you like to come, I'd love for you to come. There's a sign-up sheet out there. Be careful. There's three different sign-up sheets out there. There's one all the way on the left that is for the personal evangelism seminar. If you plan on coming, please sign up today so we know what type of vehicle to take with us. In the middle, there is a dessert fellowship seminar. And what the dessert fellowship is whether or not you plan on bringing something to the dessert fellowship. It's not if you plan on coming. And then the one all the way on the right, when you're facing it, is for the conference coming up. So we hope that you'll all be there and be a part of the conference. You say, well, Pastor, you don't ever have a sign up for revivals any other time. Well, it's because of the fact that we're going to have some different things going on that Friday and Saturday. We're going to be breaking up into different breakout sessions. So we need to know how big of a room we'll need for whether it's a men's section or the ladies session, or whether it's the couple session on Saturday, or the college and career, or the teens. So we have to kind of space things out. So that's why we're asking that you come. We've asked the other churches to let us know too. Other people, obviously there's going to be plenty of people that just show up. At least that's what we hope. But the best handle we can get on it, be great. We are going to have a dessert fellowship on Friday night. So it'd be nice to know approximately how many people plan on being here Friday night. Same thing, breakfast, a light breakfast on Saturday morning. Same thing. That's the reason why we're asking you to sign up, a little bit of a snack time in the middle of the Saturday morning sessions. So all those things combined, if you're able to and you plan on being here, please sign up and be a part of that. And like I said, I'm hoping each and every person will look at that and say, hey, this is a church service and I want to be here and be part of it. It is a little bit different, but at the same time, I encourage you to consider a church service and be faithful here. Personal evangelism seminar, we leave about 9:45, should return before 3 o'clock, but at least by 3 o'clock, please sign up today if you plan on coming. Next Sunday morning, we have somebody that's getting baptized. If you have never been baptized and you're interested in it, please let me know. I'd be glad to sit down and have a conversation with you concerning that. Already mentioned a couple of things about the family conference. They are taking that special offering. If you'd like to be a part of that, just mark on the outside of your envelope to help with it. So what type of things do we need help with? Helping provide the breakfast per se, the snack things. There's children's classes going on in the back, so craft things like that. And we will be taking a love offering for the special speakers, but it's some of the other things that are going wrong just to help with the expenses that go along with that. And then on that Sunday, special Mother's Day service, we have Sunday school. All the adults will be out here Sunday morning. Also, Brother Scott Pauley will be preaching both of those services, and we're going to have a meal following that, that the men and some of the children are going to help us with putting that on. So that's the Mother's Day. It'll be a special gift also. Outreach Saturday is May 20th. We had a wonderful day yesterday in outreach. We were able to knock out a really big neighborhood in just one day. And past, it's taken us more than one day to do that one neighborhood. And we're just thankful for all the people that came and were a part of that yesterday. Okay, that's it for announcements. So what we've been looking at is our Beatitudes in Matthew chapter number 5. Let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 7. The Bible says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse number 7 is the one that we're focusing on today. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And that word mercy, boy, is a broad subject. There is so much you could talk about it. We could spend all day talking about it and still not get it all the way done. So today we're going to look at it from some practical aspects. We're going to look at it as the mercy that's shown to those that who are lost and those that we do not know, but also being merciful to those that we do know and those that we are part of, maybe if we consider a church family. The mercy of God, we are going to look at a lot of different things, but I want to kind of focus on today what I believe Jesus' primary intent, or at least what specifically he would have for us to learn today when it comes to this idea of mercy. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer before we jump in here. Dearly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Lord, I know that there are many of us, if not all of us, have a lot of different things we could be thinking about. We have a lot of things going on in our hearts and our minds. And Lord, that you would calm our hearts, calm our thoughts, that you would help us to be interested in what your word has to say. Lord, this is an interesting topic. Lord, it's a challenging subject. And Lord, I pray that we would believe that the Bible says that this is the blessed life, if we would learn how to be merciful. Lord, help us to understand what mercy is, what mercy is not. Also help us to see where it talks about how we can obtain mercy. And Lord, as we look at a couple parables really quickly today, make an impression upon our hearts to go and study the subject in even a greater detail. Because Lord, in your word, it says that we shall attain mercy if we will learn how to be merciful. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's, like I said, a lot of different things we talk about mercy. And I know we all have different ideas and different thoughts about it. Quick thing to think about, reminding that I believe this is kind of leading up and building up. If we truly want to be merciful, we truly have an interest in showing mercy, we truly want to be biblical. We like to say we're biblical, but if we truly want to be biblical and understand what mercy is, I think it begins in verse number 3 when we learn how to be poor in spirit. He's building. Jesus says that he saw the multitudes. He went and he sat down and the disciples came. We learn the disciples are people that actually want to follow after Jesus. A lot of people say they want to follow after Jesus, but they want to follow after Jesus. They want to learn from him. They want to see how Jesus responded. They want to see how Jesus acted. They want to learn from them. That's what a disciple is. So you come here and he begins to tell them, this is what the blessed life looks like. And you say, what does the word blessed mean? And it means so much more than just happiness. But it's talking about a contentment, a joy, a satisfaction that the circumstances of this world do not steal away. And that blessed life talks about, one, yes, we are so thankful for all the things that God's given us, but it's that happy, joyful, no matter what the circumstances is, and that's a challenging thing to always be. But he's saying, if you can learn these things, you'll learn how to be blessed, and even to a step further, this is the life that God can bless. So as you look at all those things, he says, first of all, you need to come. And as he sits down with them, he says, you need to learn how to be poor in spirit. What does that mean? That means that I understand who God is and that I humble myself and that I fall flat on my face and I realize, hey, God is God and I'm not God. And what he says is true and I believe that and I am spiritually bankrupt. I cannot do anything on my own. I completely depend upon God for everything. Especially spiritually, but even you can make the case physically because he could take us out of this world just like that. So he says, look, when you become poor in spirit and then you learn how to mourn. And what does it mean mourn? It's talking about, as we talked about, mourning over our sins. When we've done something wrong and our hearts are so brokenhearted because we have sinned and we have offended an almighty, an all holy God who loves us. And we looked at that and we looked at those thoughts there about mourning over sins. So many times people justify their sins. So many times people get say, that's just the way the world is. That's just the way that I am. He says, if you truly want the blessed life, if you truly want a life that has joy in it, that is not touched by this world's circumstances, learn that I am God and learn that you need me for all these things. And when you go against me, you're heartbroken over it. Most of us are not humble enough for verse number 3, much less when verse number 4 happens, where our hearts aren't broken because of our sin. Our hearts are instead, oh, I messed up. Then you see it continues on that he says, blessed are the meek. That meekness is not talking about weakness. And it's saying that I have this power, I have this ability, but this power and ability that I have is completely under the control of God. If the strength that I have, everything I have, it belongs to him. And there are times in the Bible we saw Jesus could have done whatever he wanted to, but he submitted his strength, his will to the Father. Talk about Moses being meek. He talks about, and we looked at that. So as we see the progression, we learn we're spiritually bankrupt without God. We learn that when we sin against him, we mourn. We understand we do have certain things. We do have certain strength. We do have certain power. We do have certain abilities. But those things, they belong to God. And under God's strength and under God's power and under God's, that's how I'm going to take this. And then last week we talked about the person who hungers and thirsts, desires so much to just be right. I'm not talking about just hungering and thirsting after a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of, hey, I want to be a good Christian. It's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. That means to be right in a certain topic. I'm going to sit there. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to consider it. I'm going to go all the way back here. I'm going to remember I'm poor in spirit. And I'm going to remember that I mourn over my own sins and that I have given my heart and my life and my ability and my strength over to him and let him use me. Now I come to the spot that I hunger and thirst because I want to know what's right for my strength and my power. Now you come to a spot, he says, I want you to be merciful. This is what I want. I want you to be merciful. Now, how can you know where to show mercy? How can you know how to show mercy? Until you get down to pour in the spirit, until you can actually start mourning over our own sin, until we get to the spot where our meekness is under God's control, who I show mercy to and who I do not show mercy to. And then I come to the spot that I'm hunger and thirsting. I want to be completely and utterly right. That is my goal in life. That is what I desire more than anything else. I thirst after just to be right in the Lord. And he says, now, I want you to be merciful. And he says, I want you to be merciful. But look what it says. Blessed are the merciful. Look at that next phrase. For they shall, and it says there, they shall obtain mercy. Now, we'll get to that in a minute. So you think about all those things. The world tells you you're crazy. The world will tell you, if you live like that, you're going to get run right over. No one's going to care about you. You're not going to be able to accomplish anything. But Jesus says right here, this is the blessed life. Jesus says this is the life that he intends for us to have. Now, you go back there, and that's why this world doesn't know that much joy. And that's why this world doesn't know much satisfaction. They've done things on their own. But Jesus takes the group out and says, hey, I want you to listen. And he's not messing with these people. These are disciples that have come and they sat at the feet of Jesus and they're learning from him. And he's not going to tell them, hey, you need to do these things because it's just fun to make sure that you can live like that. No. He's saying, this is the life that is filled with the joy. This is the life that's filled with the happiness. This is the life that I can bless. This is the life I want you to learn how to do. But you consider in Jesus' day, the Roman government, they didn't know much about mercy. They were known for being just, and they were known for vengeance on the guilty. They were known for a lot of things, but they were not known for mercy. Even a Greek philosopher that day said that mercy is a disease of the soul. So mercy is not something that this group would normally be embracing. But as I mentioned before, Jesus, they're learning at the feet of Jesus. They want the discipleship class of Jesus. They don't want the discipleship class of the world because the world's going to tell them, you're foolish for being merciful. You're foolish for depending on God. You're foolish for hungering and seeking after righteousness. You're foolish for mourning over your sin. You're foolish for being meek. The world will tell you that, but Jesus is over here and he's saying, this goes against what the world teaches. This is what I'm teaching to you. If you truly want the mercy that God has for your life, he says, you'll learn how to be merciful. Not only did they not find mercy from the Roman government, you think about it, the Jews themselves did not find it from the religious leaders either. The Pharisees put people under a bondage that even their own leaders would not bear. As a Jew, they would not know much about mercy, and the culture of that time shows that there was not mercy available. But Jesus says, you will be blessed if you show mercy. The world says they're going to run right over you if you show mercy. He says, this is where you're going to be blessed. You might ask the question, what is mercy? And what is usually tie the two words, grace and mercy, together. Grace means what God gives us that we don't deserve. I don't deserve all the blessings that he's given us. And for the sake of time, we won't go over all those things. But the blessings, the grace of God, he's giving us something we don't deserve. And I like that. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I like the blessings that God has provided for us. See, we don't deserve his word. We don't deserve his spirit. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve him dying on the cross for us. Mercy is also considered is what God withholds from us what we do deserve. When God withholds from us that we do deserve. You say, well, I want what I deserve. You don't. We want the mercy of God. If we really truly want what we deserve wrath, we deserve judgment, we deserve hell, we deserve all the things that our sin has bought us, our wages of sin. But when we're dealing with God, we're not going to God and asking God on our own merit and our own strength, God, please show me mercy based off of what I've done and what I've said. We don't do that. Instead, we're seeking God's mercy despite the things we've done and said, God, we want you to be merciful to us. And so when we think about it, that word mercy, it talks about compassion. It talks about pity. It talks about sympathy. I think mercy goes a step farther. If we're going to be merciful, we learn to feel the other person's problems. We learn not only to feel the other person's problems, we get into feeling as they would feel and even help as the Lord leads. William Barclay said it this way, we get into their skin and see how they feel. That's what mercy really is. What mercy is not, mercy is just not softness. Sometimes people say it's softness. Well, Jesus was merciful to us and has been merciful to us in so many things, so Jesus is soft then. No. He's saying that mercy is something that is not soft. Mercy is more than just mere sentiment. Oh, I feel really bad. I feel really sorry for what you're going through. Mercy means that we get involved. It's not just seeing someone that's hurting and seeing someone that's in trouble or seeing a person that's weeping. It is not just being sentimental. Mercy is compassion in action. We think about the Good Samaritan. If we have time, we're going to go look at that for a second. But the Levite walked by, the priest walked by. And they didn't want to have anything to do with the man laying on the side of the road. But the person that was compassionate, the person that said, I see their hurt, I feel their hurt, I'm going to treat them the way that they would want to be treated. And I'm going to go and I'm going to get off the way I'm riding my riding and put him on my whatever it is he was riding. And I'm going to take him to the hotel or the motel. I'm going to pay his bills, all those different things. He showed him mercy. And the Bible says if we truly want to be blessed, that we will learn to be merciful. Now, don't mistake what mercy is. It is to show compassion. Mercy knows when to give a handout, but may also know that it's more merciful to look to somebody and say, hey, I don't think you really need a handout here, but let me help you with some work, or let me give you some counsel. Let me show you how you can better yourself. You say, well, Pastor, how can I know that? When you learn to be poor in spirit, and when we learn to mourn over our sins, and when we learn to be meek and to hunger and thirst after righteousness, he says we're going to know how to show mercy to someone. It's not going to be something that we turn around and just put up with someone's sin, because mercy is not a toleration of all forms of evil. You think about such as abortion, homosexuality, and other crimes. Elimination of punishment of crime is not mercy, because it's cruelty to those that might be affected by those crimes, affected by those victims, and affected by their future victims. It does not mean that we just ignore sin. You think about David. He was there. David asked his captains when Absalom had taken over the kingdom and Absalom was there. He says, hey, be merciful to my son. Go easy on him. But David didn't want to deal with Absalom's sin. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about mercy. Sin must be dealt with. But when someone is repentive and when someone is sorrowful, when we see what they're going through, some people might say, well, I don't have the gift of mercy. It might be easy for you, but it's not easy for me. Boy, that's an easy way out. I mean, I'd like to say that about a lot of things in the Bible. Well, I'm just not good at that. But that's not scriptural. He's saying if you truly want to be blessed, if you truly want to be poor in spirit and learn how to mourn and learn how to be meek and learn how to hunger and thirst, we can all learn to be merciful. This is a quality of mercy. It's one of the most beautiful characteristics of God. Lamentations chapter 3, the Bible says, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God links his mercy with compassion. He says, the Lord's mercy. And he says, because his compassions fail not. Every morning we wake up and greet the mercy of God. He has given us another day to live for him. And one thing that probably this study that hit me hardest this week was here in verse number 7 when it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy, is understanding that this is kind of like a sowing and reaping thing. It's similar to a sowing and reaping thing. Now, let me say, this does not speak of our salvation. Because if it was dependent for our salvation, that means it would be a works-based salvation, and that's not it. But this beatitude involves a sowing and reaping. It's a reciprocal-type blessing. It says it rewards belongs to them that are merciful, those that are show the mercy of God. It is true, even though we show mercy, some's going to treat us wrong. And even though that we show mercy, sometimes people are going to treat us badly. They're going to treat us cruelly. Yet it is true that those who show mercy are more likely to be treated kindly than those who do not show mercy. This is the great reward we need, mercy more than anything else in our life. And as the Bible is saying here, that if we're merciful, then God is going to show his mercy to us. Not based off of our salvation, but he says it here. He said, if you truly want the mercy of God in your life, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The best blessings, especially God's blessings, comes to those that are merciful. You say, well, Pastor, I don't remember that. I don't see that. Well, look, take your Bible and turn over one page to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, look what it says in verses 14 and 15. It says, for if you forgive men your trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And what he's saying there is if you don't forgive others, the Father in heaven is not going to forgive you. It's because there's going to be sin in your heart and life. We need to learn what mercy is. We need to understand what mercy is. We need God's mercy, and we must learn to be merciful. If we want God to show us the mercy that we desire, we should learn to be merciful too. That kind of hit me hard this week. I'm a person that likes to think that he's a considerate person and compassionate person and a merciful person at times and with certain people. But in a relationship this week, God kind of showed something. He says, if you're asking me to show you mercy, and that's in my prayer time, he says, why aren't you merciful to them? Because it's saying here, if you are merciful, you're going to obtain mercy. And if I want the mercies of God and I desire the mercies of God, you know what? I need to be a merciful person. So he can bless that life. He can show the blessings of being merciful. He said, Pastor, I'm not sure about that. Think about what it says in James 2:13. For he shall have judgment without mercy. And listen to this phrase, that have showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that have showed no mercy. Saying that the judgment's going to happen without mercy because you did not show mercy yourself. Mercy rejoices against judgment. If you don't want to show compassion, then why are we asking God to be compassionate with us? So let's try to make this practical. Let's go to Luke chapter number 10. As I told you this morning, we're going to move kind of quickly. And I want you to see here practically what mercy looks like on paper here in the Word of God. Because we like to think we know what mercy looks like. We like to think we understand what mercy means. But in Luke chapter number 10, there's a story of the Good Samaritan. We're just going to read through it quickly because we got another story we want to try to hit before the end of Sunday school that shows what mercy looks like on paper. Once again, he says, if you want to obtain mercy, if you want the mercy of God, and it's not about your salvation, it's not a works-based salvation, but if you want the blessing of God, and so we talked about that the meaning of blessed means that that's a life that I can bless. That's a life that I can show extreme blessing of mercy to. And that's what we want. We want God's blessings and we want God's mercy. Look what it says in Luke 10, verse number 30. I'll remind you that this was a lawyer that was trying to trap Jesus, and he told him about how to get to eternal life. And he asked, who is my neighbor? Not because he really wanted to learn, but he didn't want to do any more than he had to. Verse 30, and Jesus answering and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the one side, on the other side. So we see here there is a man who was hurt. He was stripped naked. He was stripped of his raiment, at least wounded. And they stole from him. The priest sees him, and the priest just keeps on walking. It says in verse 32, and likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. So they came, they looked, and he decided to go over on the other side and did not want to show mercy. They might have been sympathetic, but more than likely, because the way their responses were, it was like, oh, he got his own problem. He shouldn't have been here. Verse 33, and it says, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. It wasn't just sentiment. It was just, I see there's somebody that's in a need there. I'm going to be led of God to be able to get down. I'm going to help that person. And as you see here, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound his wounds and pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. That's what you would want to be treated. And it says, on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence of his own money and gave to them the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now look at Jesus' question. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Jesus is trying to teach him, this is what it looks like. This is what compassion looks like. Now look what his response was. And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. It's the one that's showing mercy on the man that was robbed and stripped and the man that was left wounded. And what does Jesus say in verse 37? He says, then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. So we come to the spot. This is what mercy looks like. He says, if you're going to be willing to be compassionate to those, get into their thought process, feel their pain, feel their hurt, help as God leads you to help. He says, that's what mercy looks like. And that's, we don't have any problem thinking about that. I think that most of us would say we should help those that are down and out. Now, let's kind of even make it more applicable to a person that might be a believer. Let's take our Bible to Matthew chapter 18. I'm sorry, and dealing with believers. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, we have this parable about forgiveness. We got to remember this, that no matter what happens in our Christian lives, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have problems. If you try to live the blessed life, if you try to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, there is offenses that are going to happen. And we know that. That's just going to happen. It's going to be a challenge. There's been challenges in my life, and there's been times and problems in my life, and there's been offenses from people, and you sit there and you wonder what's going on and why these things are happening. But if you try to live godly, the Bible says you're going to suffer persecution. Peter sees this and hears this, and look what it says in verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against thee, and I will forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. And then it continues on. We're going to read through it quickly because I like to try to at least allude to a little bit of it. It says, therefore is the kingdom. He tells this parable to help teach Peter this 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one brought unto him which owed 10,000 talents. And 10,000 talents, one commentator years ago said that was about $50 million. I bet you it's even more today. That's how much. It was a huge amount. This guy had nothing to pay him back with. But as for much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He's not going to pay him all. There's no way he could work his entire life and pay off that debt. He had a debt he could not pay. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. So we see here he asked for mercy. He asked for the compassion, and he received it. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Now, the same commentator said that was probably around $50. And he said, laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not. Now, he could have paid that back after a period of time, worked out a payment plan, but he said no, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison until he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto him, the Lord told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now look at this last verse in verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye, now look at that next phrase, from your hearts. Not some fake, I'm going to be compassionate on the people I like. I'm going to be friendly to those that I enjoy. No, but from your hearts, forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. I read that and sometimes I look at that and say, how in the world is that true? But he gave that as an answer. He says the comparison that the king, if we present God as the Father as the king, and he has forgiven all of our sins because of what Jesus Christ did. We had a debt that we could not pay that Jesus paid for us. And we go around and we look at many times other children of God and we refuse to forgive, even whether it's a child of God or not a child of God. But he says to him, everyone, his brother, their trespasses. If you're going to deal with people in the work of God, there's going to be offenses. People are going to hurt your feelings. You are going to be overlooked at times, sometimes on purpose and sometimes not. Sometimes people are going to get credit when you believe that you deserve the credit. If you don't get hurt here at church, you're going to get hurt at home. The devil's good at what he does, and he wants to cause conflict amongst our families. He wants to cause conflict amongst our church family. And this discipleship class is here, and he's telling them, Jesus is looking at them and saying, if you want to obtain mercy, then you're also going to have to learn how to be merciful. Now, I know there's people out there that would say, I can't handle that. Once I get a grudge to someone, that's it. Some people say, I like my anger. Some people would say that I enjoy being with my bitterness. That's not really true. It eats you up. It destroys you inside and destroys those that are around you. The Bible says, is saying is you won't have the blessed life if you want to hold on to the temper, if you want to hold on to the bitterness, if you want to hold on to the anger. And that's why Peter here, who has going to be wronged many times over and over, he says, how many times should I forgive? And once again, they weren't used to mercy. They weren't used to forgiveness. The religious leaders would say, forget you, and they would cut you off. He said 7 times, and Jesus said, no, 70 times 70. And he wasn't saying keep track, and then at 490, you can get rid of them. He's saying that it is a continual time and a continual thought process. And how are they going to, you think about it, this guy in no way, shape, or form was going to be able to repay his debt, but they were merciful to him. And he looks to him in verse number 35 and he says, I want you to forgive from the heart. I think there is people all around our churches today and all around families today that are not being blessed of God because they're not interested in forgiveness. They're not interested in showing mercy to someone else. And I think the challenge is here, as we see in this, is so easily explained in the Good Samaritan that you see that, and he said, well, that man was compassionate, that man was great. Jesus says, go and do thee likewise. It wasn't setting the man up and saying, this is the way that only one person is going to do it. He says, no, I want you to show mercy to people. And then I've been parts of churches for now over 49 years. And I've seen that the rob was what bitterness robs people of. Someone that's not willing to forgive, someone that's not willing to be merciful to them. We have a God that was so merciful to us, who has forgiven us of our sins. But he's saying, if you truly want to get a blessed life, if you truly want to have the mercy of God's and the blessing of God upon your life, we must learn to forgive. And we must learn to be merciful to others. I know sometimes it's easy. I thought I had another page of notes, but maybe I didn't. I know sometimes it's easy for us to just hold on to what we think is right. But if we go back to this from the beginning, it is, I'm going to learn to be poor in spirit. Not only am I going to learn to be poor in spirit, I'm going to mourn over my own sin. Pastor, I don't understand why I can't show mercy. It's because we've never, ever truly seen that our hearts should be broken over our own sin. Because when we see our hearts as broken over our own sin and what we've done is so wrong and we've done so much to harm and hurt God and we've done all those things wrong, and then we say, well, no, I'm okay. No, go back to being poor in spirit. Our pride is the one that robs us of that blessed life. Our pride is the one that tells us we shouldn't have to be merciful. The seeking and hungering and thirsting after righteousness isn't there until we say, I can't get it on my own. Because if I can get it on my own, if I can continue to act in a certain way and certain consider myself, our pride steals us away from that blessed life. And he says, when you get to the spot where you understand you're spiritually bankrupt without God and you fall on your face and say, God, I need you. I need you to show me. I need you to teach me. And I'm heartbroken over my sin. And I understand that these powers and strengths that you've given me, it's all under you. I have these rights, but Lord, it's under your strength. It's under your guidance. It's all about you. I'm placing myself under your authority. I'm hungering and thirsting for the right thing. And then he'll direct us how to be merciful. He'll show us how to be merciful. You say, I don't have that compassion for the guy laying on the side of the road. I don't have the compassion to forgive somebody who hurt me and who harmed me. He says, the world would tell you, forget about them. The world would tell you, send them away. And I'm not talking, as we mentioned, what mercy is not. Mercy is not just sentiment, but mercy is not just going along with sin either. Mercy is being compassionate and understanding where they're at, why they're at, and praying for them and realizing that God has been so good to us and I'm poor in spirit. I see I would be nothing without him and I mourn. My heart is broken over my sin and they have not gotten to that spot. So I need to be merciful for them so they can see Christ in me. And even better yet, he says, if you really, truly want to obtain that mercy, if you truly want the mercy for your family, for your own life, for your church family, for your interactions, he says, learn how to be merciful. You want to learn how to forgive? You want to be forgiven? Learn how to forgive. Like I said, these verses are not just for someone who's lost. They're not. They're not for the fair weather Christian that says, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but stops following when times get tough. It's saying, I don't understand how a person can be merciful. Why don't I feel that way? Why do I long that way? And we go back and say, is it our pride? Is it the fact that we're not mourning over our sin? Is it the fact that I'm not being meek? Instead, I'd rather have my rights. I'd rather push my way through. Or is it more about the fact that I'm not hungering and thirsting after what is right? Because every situation we come across, we should hunger and thirst. What is righteousness? What is the right way? And then we learn, if I truly want to have mercy, I'm going to learn how to be merciful. So this morning, it's not the discipleship class. That's the first 14 weeks where you're just learning basic Bible doctrines. Jesus is there and saying, if you truly want to be a follower of mine, do you truly want to be a disciple, you want to learn from me, you're going to learn how to be merciful. That's a challenge that many of us do not measure up to. We like having our own way. We like doing things, but we like to. The Bible says you're not going to be blessed. You're not going to find the mercy that's there and available to you until you learn how to be merciful. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. And Lord, I thank you for the theme for the year, blessed. Lord, it wasn't until I began looking and studying and being challenged by it. And Lord, I want to live the blessed life. Lord, but I don't want to live the blessed life that the world says. Lord, I want to be blessed by you. I want to have that contentment, that satisfaction, that joy, that happiness that this world circumstances can't even touch. Lord, I do want to learn how to be poor in spirit. Lord, I want to be heartbroken over my sin. God, I want to be meek. God, I want to be someone who hungers and thirsts after what the right thing to do is. Lord, would you teach us how to be merciful? Lord, I believe there's Christians and churches all across America this morning, probably all over the world, who are not finding the mercy that you desire to give to them because they're not merciful to others. I believe there's people there that have struggled with their hate and anger and bitterness because they've never truly learned what Matthew 18 talks about in being forgiving. Lord, it's not easy. But if we truly want to be that disciple, if we truly want to live that blessed life, God, that we would learn to be merciful. Lord, help us to have wisdom. We're not going to get that wisdom until we ask of God. We're not going to get that. Wisdom's available in the book of Proverbs, it says, but to have the knowledge that's there and apply it, We begin to understand that once we become poor in spirit, and once we see our sin as something we should be heartbroken over, and once we learn that the meekness that's available to us and the hunger and thirst, then we can learn what you meant about obtaining that mercy. Lord, help us light a fire in us that would want to do what's right. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.